we will call the meeting to order. 7:10 p.m. I'm going to call the roll for those of you who are on Zoom. If you could just remember to unmute yourselves, that would be great. Patty?
Present. I think that's me. Draytree?
Yes, thank you. Arouse? Austin?
Here.
Thank you. Bachner?
Here.
Baird? Bonner?
Here.
Brandhorst?
Here.
Burkett? Creedy?
Here.
DeSorbo Quinn?
Here.
Juba Clancy?
Here.
Economos? Foster?
Here.
Graham? Brandt?
Here.
Hartshorn? Herman? Iverson? Ken Johnson?
Here.
Kirk Johnson?
Here.
Kang? Pescatello?
Here.
Holodon? Kirk?
Here.
Priceman? McCauley? McAdams? Rosie, I see you on the phone. Welcome back to Rosie. Navarro? Nicholas? Norman? Oates?
Here.
Kaepernick?
Here.
Phoebe?
Here.
Riley?
Here.
Rogers?
Here.
Thanks, Abby. Shiner? Here. Schumacher? Shea? Simon?
Here.
Sierzanowicz?
Here.
Weissenberger?
Here.
Yoon?
Here.
All right. Okay, 25% including Rosemary and McAdams who I see on the phone, so we have a quorum.
Wonderful. So I'd like to start off with the land acknowledgments. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold boundaries to pick up on this person. My indigenous people are doing the
long time. Wasn't about 30 minutes,
at least.
Remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized and that River Forest continues to be a place of the people from the first campgrounds to the Indian.
Fair. Thanks, Tina. For those of you who are on the phone, if you could mute your line, that would be great. And for the record, Tina Barrett is here. Okay, thank you.
We're going to go into approval of minutes for the August 17th, 2021 DEI advisory group meeting.
Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve
the minutes. Simon made the motion. Riley seconded. Any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, all those in favor of approving, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you. Next is public comment. Do we have any members of the public on the phone who wish to speak? Okay, none on the phone, any here in person? Go ahead.
I've
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Anyone else? So we're going to go a little out of order as long as there are no objections and take item 5A first. Anybody object to that? Okay. So the first item on the agenda tonight with unfinished business is continued consideration and approval of amended definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I want to read them for the record as to what is proposed for approval. And then we will ask for a motion and a second to adopt these definitions. The definition of diversity is proposed as follows. Diversity is the psychological, physical, and social differences that occur among individuals and groups. Diversity is any dimension that can be used to differentiate groups and people from one another. This can include, but is not limited to, race, ethnicity, nationality, religion, socioeconomic status, education, marital status, language, age, residency status, length of residency, housing status, location, immigration status, gender, sexual orientation, mental or physical ability, and physical appearance. Diversity involves bringing different ideas, perspectives, lived experiences, and worldviews to the table. To embrace diversity is to seek out and learn from a diverse set of perspectives, skills, and experiences, and staying open to the unfamiliar. The proposed definition of equity is as follows. Equity is a commitment. Equity means the active commitment to achieving consistent, comparable, favorable outcomes across racial, ethnic, and diverse groups through the allocation of resources in ways designed to remedy disadvantages some communities face. Equity is a process, the outcome of which must be evident in all aspects of government operations, forming or executing public policy, distributing public services, and managing all institutions serving the public directly or by contract. As an outcome, we achieve equity when those aspects listed in diversity, such as race, gender, age, LGBTQ status, immigration status, et cetera, no longer determine life outcomes. In other words, disparities based on diversity are eliminated and outcomes for all groups are improved. The process of equity requires assessment of the root cause of disparities that groups within our community experience in attaining the aspirational outcomes our community extols, such as education, prosperity, resilience, health, and affordability. As a process, equity requires the voices and concerns of those who face the impact of inequality to be centered and integral in helping to create and implement institutional policies and practices that impact their lives. Equity provides the resources needed for everyone to have the same opportunities to succeed within a given environment. Equity implies that an individual may need to experience or receive something different, not equal, in order to maintain fairness and access. For example, a person with a wheelchair may need special access to an elevator relative to someone else. The definition of inclusion is proposed as follows. Inclusion is a choice. Inclusion is the intentional act of creating environments in which an individual or group can be and feel welcomed, respected, supported, and valued to fully participate. Inclusion involves ongoing engagement with diversity in people and in communities, intellectual, social, cultural, geographical, with which individuals might connect in ways that increase one's awareness, content knowledge, empathy, and understanding of the complex ways individuals interact with each other and within systems and institutions. Inclusion is putting diversity into action, which means actively seeking out and centering voices that have been traditionally underrepresented and or marginalized, as well as the voices of those directly most impacted by a particular policy or practice. Inclusion recognizes that the perspectives and input of these individuals are fundamental to the process of achieving equity. So first, if I can get a motion and a second, then we can discuss and talk about how we're going to discuss.
I move to approve the definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion as read into the record just now by Lisa. This is Stacey Austin.
Is there about a second?
All right, we have a motion and a second. So this is something that we started discussing a few meetings ago. We've had a few breaks in between. In order to move forward with the discussion, I think what we would like to do and make good use of everyone's time and be fair to everyone is if you have something you'd like to add or change in the definitions, that's fine. We'll give everybody one opportunity to speak. We'd ask you to try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. We have 25 people in the room, and we try to end these meetings by 9 p.m. So with that, I see a hand in the back.
Chuck Foster. I object to all of it. And under diversity, this whole thing of calling out these different groups, I think is not necessary. And I specifically object to immigration status as being one of the criteria. I'd rather see all of that section removed. Under equity, I would want to change comparable favorable outcomes to comparable favorable opportunities. So replace the word outcomes with opportunities. There's no way to get results that are even. That's a ridiculous thought.
What? So the second line of that?
Just opportunities replaces outcomes.
Thank you, Chuck. Any other comments?
No.
Thank you.
I just have a quick minor one. But if we did use the example of the nurse, instead of LGBTQ, I think it's not LGBTQIA plus, but I was just Googling to see what the current means are. So this is very minor.
So for those of you who are on the phone, we've got a microphone in the room, but just in case, just to recap, in the, let's call the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 line of the definition of equity, replacing LGBTQ with?
Just add IA plus.
IA plus. So LGBTQIA plus.
Yes, I submitted a memo to the subgroup working on the definitions. I don't know whether you saw it. It was at the very end of all the materials that were submitted for this meeting. And in that memo, I pointed out that I can't support the definitions as submitted because they're more than definitions. They contain language regarding implementation, plus they have some aspirational language, and it's my position that we'd be better served by having a succinct set of definitions that are completely politically neutral, and I provided illustrations, and this is not by way of an amendment, but this is the type of definition that I think would serve the purposes of the group best of all. Diversity. Diversity is the way a group is composed when individuals and subgroups in the group are assigned varying differentiating qualities. The possible differentiating qualities are essentially artificial constructs and therefore arbitrary. As to equity, I suggest equity is the treatment of individuals or groups in a fair manner, regardless of power differentials between believe that this kind of a definition is well understood by anyone, whereas I'm having a great deal of difficulty really understanding all of the language and the implications of the definitions that have been proposed by the subgroup. And because I cannot really understand what these definitions mean, and I think a lot of other people would have the same problem, I have to vote against the submitted definitions. And this is in the packet. It's the last document in the packet.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment? If you're on Zoom, please, you can either use the raise hand feature or speak up if I'm not looking at the camera so that I make sure I acknowledge you. Anyone else?
I just strongly agree with the gentleman here that the definitions are not succinct and they contain ambiguous words. So I'm definitely agree with what he's saying, and I thought his suggestions were great.
I was prepared at the last scheduled meeting to go along and to just get along to push through these definitions of DEI. To get to the real work. Fortunately or unfortunately, I read an article about Cook County's implementation of its equity mandate. According to Chicago City Wire, the president of Cook County Board argues discrimination against whites is necessary to counter differences in income. Discrimination of any kind is wrong, and I can't support any definition, policies, or mandates that promulgates discrimination.
Kent?
I would also like to back Glenn's comments. I agree with his comments. So for the record, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm Sharon. I was just sitting here. So you submitted this to the subgroup or subcommittee?
I did, and it's in your packet.
Right.
It was submitted on September 1. I don't know whether it got to them or not, but this was merely suggestions on my part.
Right, I was wondering if you got it and if there was any kind of response or if there needs to be any kind of response from them.
I received no response.
Is that acknowledgement? All right. So this is Mindy Creed, and I was on the subcommittee. I never received any of your suggestions.
Well, they were submitted.
I've never received them.
Well, I'm sorry, but I submitted them for the chair.
I'm just telling you, I believe you.
Okay.
I never received them.
Okay.
So we do have a whole group here to discuss tonight.
Great.
Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Well, I'd like to see if there's anybody else. I'd like for this discussion to move along. Glenn, if you have something else that you want to add, that's fine. But at some point, we will bring the conversation to a close. And as long as everybody's had an opportunity to say what they needed to say. Unless I hear different from the chair. No. Okay, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, given the fact that I don't think the subcommittee really had the opportunity to review my suggestions and weigh them, it is my feeling that the group should do support the more simple, direct approach. Their position can be evaluated and considered for the purpose of our final draft of definitions. I see that there's agreement in the room with what I've said, and I think it should be given thorough consideration by the subgroup. So I'm going to move that we table consideration of the definitions.
Is there a second? Well, hang on, there's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second on the motion? Well, hang on a second. If there's no motion,
a second yet.
I'm sorry?
We don't have a second.
So then the motion dies for lack of a second. Okay.
I'd like to speak.
Yeah, let's give Sheila a turn. Go ahead.
Is she on the committee?
My name is Sheila Radford Hill.
Stop.
Sheila, no, I want to know, is she on the committee? Is she involved in public comment? No, I want to respond to Glenn.
Cindy?
Yes.
I'm not on the committee.
No, you are not, and you should have volunteered for it.
I'm not on the committee. I'm responding to the public.
We're not. So let me pause for a minute. Emotions may run high. I understand that. Everyone will be heard. But what we are not going to do is be disrespectful of each other. And people can be upset. I'm not telling anybody how to feel, but that's not what we're going to do. We're going to be respectful of each other.
Great. But only certain people. Not Glenn. That's okay. Perfect.
Keep going. Sheila, go ahead.
I am speaking not to disrespect anyone. I'm speaking as a member of the public, not as a member of the committee. I have two comments. The first is that whatever definitions are chosen should be in alignment with the resolution that was originally passed that established the diversity, equity, and inclusion group in the first place. As I understood it, that resolution, the context out of which that resolution came, was the need to be a more welcoming community and the need to address issues of race and racism and to ensure that we had a committee that was inclusive of issues related to inequity and inequality of opportunity and of outcomes, meaning proportional representation for welcome and opportunities to live, work, and communicate with members of the village in a attitude of respect. What I believe the definitions that you currently have, I believe they're partly aspirational and partly operational. I would suggest after many years doing this work, that it's very important to have aspirations as part of a definition. However, it is also important to operationalize definitions when you are applying definitions to public policy. So I would encourage the committee to vote on the motion on the floor, which, as I understood it, was to accept these definitions. That was seconded. And I would hope that the committee would take that vote and continue to discuss how to operationalize these definitions when it comes to particular policies under consideration by the village. Thank you.
Lisa.
Members of the public do have the right to address the group during the meeting.
Lisa.
During public comment or during our discussion?
During the discussion. Abby, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, it's Abby Rogers calling in. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. As a member of the committee, I want to just import and adopt everything that Sheila just said. I think we need to keep in mind that these are definitions that are going up to the village board and will continue to be a learning process for all of us. To the extent we don't know what all of the words mean, let's learn what they mean. Let's have discussions. Let's fix perhaps some of the issues that have come up through more discourse rather than limiting things. And I do want to say that the subcommittee did consider significant resources and worked very hard to draft definitions that were both aspirational and operational, and that were very much in line with what the standard practice is in this field, in public government space across the country, in a range of different governmental operations. And those are my only comments for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Let me just say this, so maybe what an opportunity to talk, it's fine. I think we all need to realize that we are all in this together. And so we're all gonna have diverse opinions. That's what diversity is about. With respect to each other's opinions, that your opinions are not the opinions of the entire group. You have to respect that. And you, or you don't have to. You don't have to respect it, but you have, this, the vote goes as the vote goes. And so I think we all need to understand it. And we spend a lot of time combating each other. Let's vote on this, and then we can decide. If you don't like it, vote it down.
Thank you for addressing me, Ken. I appreciate that. So this, I'll go along to get along. I said that earlier. My objection is that my fellow committee member, I think it's called an advisory group. I as a subcommittee member, I've never seen his recommendations. And I also submitted information to you last week that I would like to have been shared with the group. So as chairman, are you being transparent with the rest of the group, or are you deciding what goes in front of the subcommittee and the entire advisory group? Or what is your role? What's the transparency policy? And why have I never seen anything from them? Why?
I would like to say that I submitted this document to Lisa on September 1. Thereafter, it was, I believe, up to the chairs to distribute this to the subcommittee or the subgroup.
That's kind of what they told us.
That I followed the precise procedure which the chair suggests we follow. So, you know, if there's some reason why the subcommittee would now want to consider this memo that I submitted for further deliberation, then I think we should vote the motion down, and the subcommittee can come up with another set of definitions. But as a member of this group, I did everything that I was supposed to do to get this in front of the subgroup.
So I've got two hands up on the phone. Therese?
First of all, I just want to say that I agree with Abby and Sheila. I was part of the subcommittee, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I did see your definitions or not, but I don't know that I would have voted for them even if I had seen them, because I think that what the subcommittee tried to do was to be as inclusive as possible. And that means having a lot of words because we want to include everyone. We went back and forth on all of the definitions that should be put in there. And it, as Sheila said, we want to be aspirational. We want these to be definitions that we can grow as a group and as a village. We can grow into be these things. And that's why there are so many words and why there's so much in here. And I agree with moving forward with definitions as they have been proposed.
Bonner?
I like the call for the question. I think we are repeating ourselves continuously, and I think we should just vote on the motion as it stands. So I call for the question.
So technically, one second, technically calling the question is a motion in a second. And we, my understanding is we need 2/3 of the majority of the group, meaning the entire group, to vote in favor of that, which is 28 members. And I, on my last count, I don't believe we have 28 members present. So I appreciate what you're saying, David. Unfortunately, procedurally, I just don't think that's an action that's available.
I'm not sure that's accurate, though. You're saying that you need 2/3? And Robert's rules of order, a simple majority works.
For call the question, I checked in on this today on another matter, and I thought it was 2/3 majority, and not just of the members present, of the members who are legally entitled to vote, which would be the entire advisory group.
No, I know that's not correct, because you can't have people who are not physically here vote on a motion. So it has to be of the body that's actually in present. And I had this issue with another board that I served on. You can't have people who are not physically present at a board meeting vote on an issue that's before the board at that night. So it has to be of the members that actually exist there.
Okay, thanks, David, I appreciate that. So chairs, what do we want to
please put up call the question?
Is there anyone we have not already heard from, or do we want to? All right, I'm going to call the roll. If you don't support the definitions, that's okay. You can vote no. Otherwise, you would vote yes.
Done with discussion?
That's, yeah, we would be done with discussion.
I think we have a question answer, though. I'm not saying whether I support Glenn or not, but it seems like he's gone through the proper channels. I'm just concerned that we're just kind of overlooking the main point that he's trying to get across is I submitted this, I'm getting no response.
So after the last meeting, at some of Glenn's emails, I didn't get all of them. We since rectified the issue. His emails were going to a folder. I didn't see them soon enough. I apologize. They are here in your packet now. One option would have been to amend the definitions, to make a motion to amend them, but then we would have to take a vote on that. So if you would prefer, based on the motion that's on the floor right now, either Stacy and David could make a motion to amend their motion, or we would vote this down and we would have to come back. So if you believe strongly that we're not there yet and that Glenn or anyone else's input should be further reviewed, then you'll vote no. If you believe that the definitions as proposed by the subgroup should be approved, then you'll vote yes.
Just point of clarification, were these definitions that Glenn is proposing in the packet?
Yes, they were.
People did receive this in the packet.
Yes, the subgroup did not get it in advance of the rest of the group. All right. Addie?
Yes.
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Hoffner?
Yes.
Baird?
Yes.
Bonner?
Yes.
Brandhorst?
Yes.
Reedy?
No.
Duba Clancy?
Yes.
Foster?
No.
Grant? Ken Johnson?
Yes.
Kirk Johnson?
Yes.
Megan Pescatalo?
Yes.
Kent Kirk?
No.
Adams?
Yes.
Oates?
No.
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Phoebe?
Yes.
Riley?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Shiner? Yes. Simon?
Yes.
Sierzenowitz?
Yes.
Weisenberger?
No.
Yoon?
No.
Motion passes.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
DeSorbo Quinn?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really want to share my gratitude to the working group who researched this information and took time out of their busy schedules to look into this and come up with a comprehensive and well thought out set of definitions for us to better understand what equity, inclusion, and diversity means. So thank you.
All right. Next item of business is discussion regarding execution of DEI goals and responsibilities.
Yeah, so maybe we can do the small discussions.
Sure.
Before that. So before we move on to new business, we're going to do our small group discussion work, and it actually ties right into the discussion around execution of DEI goals and responsibilities. So I think everybody should have either online through our website on our advisory group page or in person their printouts of the purpose, mission, and initial goals and responsibilities for our group. And we're going to go into small groups and talk about how do you think you want to accomplish this purpose? So what are the different ways that we can accomplish what we're set to do within this advisory group? What do we want to work on? And what topics do we want to dig deeper into? And so we're going to give you about, half an hour to have a discussion with your small groups. And I suggest almost just like a running list, brainstorming, the idea of like there are no bad ideas sort of. Then we'll come together talk through some of those ideas and see if we can't start to put them and group them together and see if this comes up to maybe sort of like a subcommittee situation for us to begin to work. And then, we'll kind of go from there. So this is an initial discussion. It's not a final discussion, but it's a way for us, it's a jumping point for us. So in the room, there are 14 people. So I think maybe working in groups of four or five in the room. I think we have 2, 9, 3, 4, 6, 7, 12. Okay. So people on the phone, we will figure out whether we want to have you in a breakout session.
Are there people people that are in the advisory group?
Yeah. So be our people in the advisory group.
Really?
Okay, what's the question?
You're saying only people in the advisory group need to be a people.
Or they need to apply to be in the group.
The discussions are open to the public, including on the phone.
Not out of here.
This is not kosher. In the open meetings act, we have to allow the public to work. It's not that they have the right to observe and listen to every element of the meeting.
Not participate. Observe, not participate.
Members of the public are capable and they are allowed under the open meetings act to comment on items that are up.
Comment. Comment is the operative word.
And that's what's happened.
Well, when I come to the next village board meeting, I would love to have the opportunity to comment throughout and participate.
To be clear, the breakouts, I assume, were just going to be committee members.
Oh, that's good.
Is that your question?
Yes, it
is. Just committee members.
Yeah, advisory group members.
But members of the public can observe.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. So we've got about 8 people, and we'll determine what makes sense. If it is to put you all in 2 breakout groups or have you be in 1 or just depending on our technical.
I did just schedule in breakout rooms.
Is there anybody who's better with Zoom than I am that can put breakout rooms in the meeting? Okay. So we'll figure that out in a moment.
But okay.
In the room, if you want to put yourself together, I suggest working with people that you have not worked with in the past so we can get to know one another. I'll put the questions up on the board so you can use those as a reference point. Any questions?
All right, so Teresa, I'm changing you to host now.
Okay.
Jump on. And people in the rooms that would be great.
You gotta join our
group. So I'm gonna send her my cell phone number so she needs to text me during that search on my phone.
So Lisa, it looks like you didn't set up breakout rooms when you set up the meeting. So I don't know that we can set some up now. I think it has to be done on the back end. If those who are on the committee want to turn their cameras on, we can see who's here and we could discuss the questions that okay, here we go. So I don't think we're going to be able to do breakout rooms. I think we just are going to be in one room. but here is the questions. What do you want to accomplish based on purpose, mission, and goals? Question two is, what issues do you want to work on as an advisory group? Question three are, what topics do we want to dig deeper on and get information and data on? And question four is, please consider the mission, purpose, goals, and responsibilities of the advisory group. So I guess we'll start with question one. What do you want to accomplish based on purpose, mission, and goals? Does anybody want to say anything?
I'm rereading, but also, are we supposed to be doing this like in addition to what was initially stated, or in terms of like, are there ways we need to pivot off of the initial goals?
Alisa, you're on mute. But I think it's, Lisa, tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I think it's, these are the questions that Erica was posing for the small group discussions.
What I'm saying is I'm reading the initial goals that were set out, and I'm fairly aligned to those. So I'm trying to understand, are we trying to decide which, is there a subset of those initial goals that we should focus on, or do we need to pivot away from those? Just so I have a sense of where this discussion should go.
And I don't know the answer to that, but I agree with you. I kind of feel like we had a set goal. We had a set of goals when we started, and I don't know that we need to move away from those. So what do other people feel like?
The sense I got from what she was explaining, I think, is not so much a discussion about the goals, but sort of the things that we would do in order to achieve or accomplish those goals. So like, what would we do knowing what our goals are to get there?
Anybody have any thoughts?
This is Abby. I'm just on audio, so it's really hard for me to know what's going on. I'm sorry if I'm like jumping in and if somebody has their hand up or something, I can't see you guys. I'm sorry. But I think, quite frankly, more discussion would be really helpful. I don't know how to have discussion without it turning into such an emotionally charged issue, which is, I think, something that has happened with the group. But I think more discussion, more training, just exposing more people to the idea so that the work can move forward in a constructive way. So I don't know if that's employee training, community training, all of the above. Community town hall meetings, I don't know, but I think discussion is part of this.
You can't see us, but we're shaking our heads in agreement.
Right.
And I think I agree with that. I mean, I'm thinking that we should have people from the community.
I'm not sure, are you able to do your group discussions?
Yes. We are good.
I can't hear you. Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Yeah, I think she put you on mute so we didn't hear all the background noise from the room. But yes, we are still on the first question, but we are able to have a small group discussion.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Erica. I think I agree with that. And I think, to the extent that we can have outsiders, people who may not be part of the committee, provide input, I'm okay with that. I understand there are people who didn't really like what was happening, but I thought that was fine. I don't know what you all thought about that.
I agree. I personally, you know, not only want to join this committee to make a change, but I also want to learn and learn how we can make a change, because I joined this group being like, I want to make real tangible differences in the community, but I don't know how to do it. So like, hopefully we can all come together and learn from others how to do that as a group, right? So I completely agree.
That was very well said.
And I would say sort of related to that is one of the things I would like to accomplish in this group is even just have a better understanding of, you know, what does need to change, right? Because I know what I see and what I'm told and what I experience, but that is not, you know, inclusive of the whole. So I would love to really understand more about the ways in which, you know, everyone experiences the village and the ways that we can, you know, make that experience better probably in some ways, because we don't even know that there are, you know, things in place that might be limiting or making, you know, being in this village unnecessarily challenging for people.
And this is Dorota, and I agree with you. So in one of the first meetings, I actually brought up or I asked a question, like, what are we talking about? Like, what are examples of possible discrimination of or people not feeling included? And I really would want to learn or get some data and actual examples of how people experience the village and how they feel that maybe they were not treated the way they should be treated. I personally moved here a year ago, and I really felt very welcome. I love this community. There are certain little things that I may not like. I don't feel it's diverse as much as the area where I used to live, which was the East Coast, but it is what it is. But I really felt welcome. We are a biracial family. I have a little girl who's half Black, half white, and our community, we feel really loved and appreciated. And I met so many friends, and obviously that's just my personal experience. And I would love to learn more about other people and actually learn data. I would want to know the data. What are we talking about when we say that some people may not feel, you know, the way I feel?
I agree with that. I also think though, we have to, in doing that, be really mindful of the fact that people who may be experiencing challenges also may not feel safe sharing those things. And so
exactly,
I think to some earlier points, there's work to be done in terms of how do you structure productive conversations about race, about other aspects of identity, so that we can create that space. Otherwise, I think we probably have all experienced in different parts of work or whatever, that can go all the way left and shut things down. So I think I totally agree with wanting to understand the data. And I think there's an opportunity for us to understand it at like the individual level, how people are experiencing it. And then as was laid out in the initial kind of goals, what's happening at the individual level, what's happening with the organization of like the village, and then what's happening at a systemic level too, because I think that will help people grasp, this is what I can do in my day-to-day. This is what we need to do at a village-wide level. Like, these are the things that actually are not dictated by the village, but people in the village experience. And so I wonder if there's a way to kind of chunk out the way we approach this work. And I don't know if it's those three ways, but a few different ways.
Yeah, I just want to add, I completely agree that hearing people's stories and, you know, giving people time to share, you know, their experiences in the village is incredibly important. One thing that I've been, you know, thinking about a lot in regards to this committee is, you know, diversity is part of the, you know, the first thing, the first word in the definition. And the definition reads that, or, you know, that first definition that we got was diversity is a fact. And so one thing that I just continually think of in this committee is it going to be part of our mission to help increase diversity in the village, right? Because that's something that I personally would love to see in the village. And so it's just something that I've been thinking about a lot, like, will that be part of our mission, you know? And I don't know what that means and how you do that, but that's just something that I would hope can be a goal of our committee as well.
What do people see as barriers to diversity in our village? If we're not diverse enough, what are the barriers and how do people see breaking down those barriers?
Yeah, I think I think a lot of the barriers are, you know, what do you want to call them? Somewhat intangible, right? So people can look in a space and say, will I be welcome? And if they don't think they will be welcome, they will not join the space. So you can tell by the space, the extent to which it's welcoming based on the number of people who want to join that space, right? So
that's an individual choice.
Correct.
You know, force them to move into a place. If they don't feel they're welcome, I'm not going to say force them to come in, obviously.
No, but we should ask the question, why don't they feel welcome?
Right. Yeah.
And we need to find that out.
It's
from
mutually,
the people
it's
who
not
are
a mutually exclusive issue. Yeah.
Right. And I think that goes back to the understanding of, like, we need to ask those questions and understand, you know, because I may say, like, my house is beautiful, please come over. Like, you know, why wouldn't you want to be here? And then there are a bunch of people who are like, no thanks, I'm good. You know, and so I can either sit there and say, like, my house is fine. I don't understand what your problem is. I guess you don't want to be here. Or I can say, you know, tell me what is it about my space that makes you not want to come in? And they may say something. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that was an issue. I can easily change that. And when I invite you in, you join and you come in and you're pleased. You know what I mean? So it's really, I think, goes back to this whole idea of, you know, really understanding, are there ways in which this isn't, you know, viewed by different types of people as a, you know, place where they would want to live.
And I think that gets back to Jarota's point of, we need data. We need, you know, you have to ask the questions in order to know what the issues are. You can guess, but you may be wrong until you ask the questions, you know, why didn't you want to move here? Or, you know, what did you see when you did move here? And I think, yeah, there may be some people who don't feel comfortable answering that. But I do think we need to ask. And that's the other thing, is how do we ask it in a way that will make them feel comfortable?
I think it's, it's thinking about who's asking, in what way is it asked, and then in what way are people, whoever's doing the asking, trained to respond? Because I think one of the reasons people don't feel safe sharing is because when they do, the responses can vary. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's, well, that's just how you feel, or that's a you problem, not an us problem. So, like, really figuring out how we not only ask the right questions, but are able to sit with the responses to those questions without getting defensive, which I think is hard for a lot of people who live in a space where it's like, but I love it, but it's great for me. And so yeah. I think if this committee were to be the committee asking the questions, that is where we would collectively need some, like, serious training on how to do that effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's a great opportunity to hire some sort of external consultant to do it, whose job is to do that well.
I was just going to say that your comment about, you know, not getting defensive to the responses, because, like, I can sit here and say, oh, I wouldn't get defensive if somebody said something bad about my community, but now, like, thinking about it, if somebody was like, why do you live there? It's so this or that, I would probably be defensive about it and defend my choice to live there, to live in River Forest, right? So,
but that's not bad. It's not bad to be defensive if you enjoy a place and somebody trashes it. It's a natural reaction to be defensive, I would think. And that's not a bad thing.
No, but I don't think someone sharing their experience that's contrary to your experience is the same thing as trashing it, but you may receive it that way. And I don't think it's problematic to be like, oh man, I live here, so I like it. But I do think it's problematic to be defensive when you've asked someone to share their experience. And then the place you come from is defensiveness. Like that leads to an unproductive conversation. Not to say your feelings can't be hurt, but
also
I disagree.
It depends on how it's delivered as well.
Totally, both sides. Yeah.
Sure. And I do think that's where, you know, maybe we need some training in how to ask the question, how to receive the answers, and how to use that information going forward.
And I have a quick question. I was under impression when I first read information about this committee that we would be hiring an expert, a research consulting company that would be conducting some kind of research for us. So am I misunderstanding or I just made this up? Do you guys remember anything?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we will.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the initial goals, and number two is a consultant will design a comprehensive work plan.
Awesome.
To inform how the village can best approach diversity, equity, and inclusion in the village's internal policies and practices. So I think that's part of the idea is having that consultant help us in that
Perfect.
Regard. So I think we kind of answered this other question, what topics do we want to dig deeper on and get information and data on? I think one of the things we want to get more information on is how we're going to select this consultant. And I think one of the data points we have is why do people choose to move here or not move here? Is there any other data points we think we need?
Well, I think on top of that, you know, what we've been talking about, you know, also, what negative experiences have you had as, you know, not people who actually do decide to move here, you know, what negative experiences have you had or, you know, and I don't know what type of data we can get on that, but right, we want to dig deeper into what experiences people have had that are residents of the village, right? That have,
yeah.
Well, and
that have led them to not feel included or, right?
One thing that may or may not be within the scope of anybody's work at the village that I think is interesting is the way in which this is kind of a community building concept. So I guess I would be interested to know what results and experiences have other municipalities who have been through this similar process experienced. You know, is it a net negative, a net positive?
I agree. So the bottom line, we need the data and we need to know what we are talking about really. Because right now it's what we assume because who we are basically. And we really need to know what the actual what the reality is.
One other thing I would want to add to the what do we want to accomplish question that I just came to me is, you know, I would like from an accomplishment standpoint to see the committee serve as a resource for the board. So, you know, the board gets, you know, any number of ordinances or other things, you know, put before it to consider. And, you know, there are times when those determinations, those ordinances have a, you know, have an impact that may not be obvious on the surface, on their face. And so I think having a committee like this, where we do have a diverse representation of people across the village to kind of look at those, you know, those things that are up for review and, you know, point out here are some ways in which this could be could have unintended consequences or negative results for residents who, you know, we might not be thinking about or might not have in the forefront of our mind when making the decision, I think might be helpful as well, so that we are, you know, we have a board who's able to kind of have a broader view and broader representation of the village itself. So I think that, you know, we can really support the board, you know, in those ways while they're doing their review and deliberation of, you know, different legislation.
I'm just taking notes because I don't know if we have to report out or what, but I'll send these off to Lisa, if you guys are okay with that.
Well, thank you. And another thing I really would want to emphasize in those meetings for the entire group is to be respectful, because I feel that multiple times in you know, the reaction of some people in the group is just unacceptable. Like you cannot yell at Lisa or other members and behave in a certain way. And it's, and I don't know, you guys probably read the article that came out. I feel really offended by it, the fact that we are in the group and we discuss and everybody is honest, and then somebody writes an article and sends it to the world. It just it really shows I think it's trying to undermine the importance of this committee, and I really was hurt by it. Either you agree or disagree. What's that?
I was gonna say I'm not aware of the article.
I'm not sure who said that.
This is Abby. I'm sorry. The one who's only audio.
No,
I probably missed something in the local press, but.
Yeah, there were two articles.
Okay.
So somebody spoke about, you know, one of the topics, and then there were literally two articles, and one of them actually put the link to this person's husband's work and how much they pay for their house, which has nothing to do with our committees. It was just a really, I don't know, disrespectful, and I really don't want to be a part of a group that where you cannot speak up because somebody can write an article and put the, you know, link to your husband's or a wife's work and how much you pay for your house.
I'm not sure of the article either. Was this in on Facebook or social media?
No.
Or was it in Force?
Oh, I thought everybody read the article. Well, just Google about our committee and you'll find the article. And me.
It was in the West Coast News.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay. Thank you. I see it now. Sorry, now we're all like reading simultaneously.
Yeah. I thought everybody read this article because it's actually my friend Roshni, who was who spoke up, and now there is an article about her. And obviously it's undermining our committee. I really would want to know what's the purpose of the article, and I feel this should not be happening. So I think respectful and trust, that's two other terms that we should define.
Yeah. Well, I had not seen that, and I agree with you.
I'm sorry, where'd you say the article was?
West Cook News.
Oh, okay. What is that published in? Is that a paper?
I'm not entirely certain. I was unfamiliar with it until just now myself.
Sorry, guys.
Looks like an online news source.
Yeah. But basically what happened, it seems that somebody went straight to media to kind of report on what happened in our committee. And the article obviously is very negative. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter what it says, but the fact that it puts like, you know, our committee in a bad light, kind of. And I feel it, that the purpose of it is to undermine our work, and that's just not okay. I think this committee has really important purpose, and this type of publicity just makes no sense. So I'm just wondering what's the real purpose of the article. And I apologize because I thought you guys read it and I was like, nobody's talking about it. This is pretty.
Well, thank you, Taroja, for pointing it out.
There were two articles.
As challenging as it is to see your work kind of presented in a different lens, I will say it's not factually accurate. It does state Tuesday's meeting was to be the first without the pledge, which is actually incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had the pledge all year since we started. So it's not the first without the pledge. It's not like we voted it down. We just never voted to do it.
Nor has any other committee.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, the reason why we're doing this work now is because there's been pushback against it. You know, if it was something that we could just do, it would have already been done by now. So to right. think that we can do this work and expect that there will be no pushback, there will be no inaccuracies or lies or, you know, threats or anything, I think is a little bit, you know, it'd be nice, but it's just not true. And it's never been true. There's never been a point in history where that has ever been true. You know, I think for us, you know, within this committee, you know, when we talk about being respectful and things like that, we should do that, but we should also be holding people accountable for their failure to do so, because that really is one thing to say it, but it's another thing to stand behind it. So I think if we're going to say it, we need to make sure we stand behind it and not just say it, because then you get the people who are going to be respectful by nature continuing to be so, feeling obligated to do so, and the people who aren't won't, and then that will just create an even more challenging setting and, you know, in which we want to do this work. So I wish it were better, but because we're here, it's not.
Stacy, I think that's a really good point. And I think maybe we need to, maybe part of the training is how to respond to something respectfully. If you know, and you can say, yes, I already know how to do that, but maybe we don't. And maybe we all need to get a little lesson on if someone disagrees with you, how to respond to that in a respectful way.
That's a great point, to be honest with you. That's a great point.
Yeah, something else that I, you know, has been kind of, I feel like, roadblock, or, you know, just a point for us that has caused some contention is, you know, that this is a government board, right? And that we need to follow the rules of the government. And I, you know, and the Robert's rules, and, you know, and I just think that has been like a point that has continued to be like a stopping point for us, and we can't get past it. And maybe some training on that, and some training on how we get through issues like this when people
you know, just want to go by the rules of the government, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know, I think it's hurting us, right? trying to get to where we want to be ultimately, because, you know, members of the group are very fixated on the fact that we need to follow, you know, follow all the government rules, which of course I think is important, but, you know, maybe just some training on how we get through those issues like that when we have stopping roadblocks like that, right?
Right. I mean, there's an inequity in that alone, because there are people who know Robert's Rules of Order and those who don't, exactly. Right? And so those who know are able to utilize that knowledge in order to, you know, function within the group. And then those who don't may not feel comfortable speaking, or, you know, may not, you know, do something that they may otherwise do because they don't know the appropriate way to do it. So I think maybe making sure that we all have that language as well, if that's mm-hmm. the language we're using in the committee to ensure that everyone is able to participate on a level ground.
Is David Bonner still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you. I'm just wondering if you had any thoughts.
Thoughts on just generally the conversation that you guys have had, or things I think that we should.
Yeah, some of the questions, what do we want to work on, and accomplish, and maybe what data we think we need.
Yeah, I think we need a sleuth of data. I heard some of it earlier, but I also think we need to talk of demographics. I mean, I know we've got the US Census, so I mean, they did that presentation of the data, the economic income, I think, but also we talked about the culture, you know, sort of how, what's the climate of the government here? I'm fairly new to the village as well. You know, but what I do see from folks outside of the village, you want to hear, is, you know, the perception is that, you know, River Forest is stuck up and it's wealthy. And I don't think that's true, though. I think, you know, my neighbors, and as what I've heard for folks on this call, said people are very, very much, the neighbors are kind, people are kind. I think that's been the perception, because it was probably reality a decade or two ago. But I think as the village starts to change, as demographics start to change, as people move in from other places, like from the city and from, you know, everywhere else, I think that starts to change the community. And so I think maybe a survey, as we were talking about how we collect this data, you know, putting out like, what's perception of River Forest? How do we perceive it? How do our neighbors perceive it? And then how can we change that perception? Because it's a big deal. I mean, when you talk to, especially just across Harlem, you talk to folks in Oak Park, and sort of that perception is still, you know, it's kind of like, oh, this is where fun goes to die or something.
Actually, I've heard that's the University of Chicago.
That's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to be disparaging. I didn't want to be disparaging.
I know. I'm going to go there. And anyway, I do think, though, that that's a good point, and a good point to keep in mind. Also, when we talk about some of these issues, everybody is fundamentally nice. I don't think any of this work is calling out people as not being fundamentally nice or flawed or wrong or anything like that. So, I would like for that to be one of the transformations, I guess, that our discussions could bring. That, again, this isn't like a mark of shame. It's a reflection, a very positive reflection on what these nice people can do in this community.
I also think we should be looking at how we can be better regional partners and collaborators. I know we started sort of with Maywood, and there was discussion during the election of, there's a bridge between us and Maywood, but there's no sidewalks to walk in between. I know that's more a micro level discussion, but how can we be better players and sharing this great forest that cuts a lot of the western suburbs of Cook County, which, you know, Broadview, Maywood, Hillside, off from the great forests that River Forest has, you know, and it's not necessarily River Forest, they're county preserved forests, but they're, you know, those communities are separated by a river.
Great point. And in addition to that, you know, just back to our goals and how we perceive our goals, one of our goals is to partner with the Village of Maywood. And I'm just wondering, like, I guess I don't know what that means and what that looks like, right? And what our goals are for that partnership in general, right?
Yeah, I thought that too. That's always, you know, I think that's an aspirational goal, but how do we achieve it? And what does that mean? What does that look like?
And any reason why Maywood?
That, I don't know. That's just our sister city or something. I think we just have a village partnership with them.
This one here?
Uh-huh.
Hi, everybody. I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation. We're going to bring you back into the larger group. So give us a minute and we will get back to you.
Okay.
And then is,
I wanted to see if you could get the sound up there too.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, sorry, let me move. Sorry, let me get out of the way.
Are they going to be able to read that?
If not, we can certainly take photos of it, share with the group after.
The only problem is that there is a bit of the way.
Yeah. It's okay. We can make it work. I won't look at myself.
Like right here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I'll just have to, like, read it, and that's good.
Okay, got it. Okay, so we're going to come back together. So pick the person who's going to talk initially.
So we've got four groups. One, two, three, and then you all on Zoom. We'll start with this group over here. Hey, y'all. What ideas did you guys come up with?
Sorry, what specific thing, not aspirational, but that we could do right away, would be, you know, unlock the basketball hoops.
I'm going to put that down, but that does fall into the purview of the park. But it's definitely a community idea, and maybe there's something that we can generate from that idea that people are thinking. Anything else? What did you guys talk about?
It's like one of the things we came to kind of early into the conversation was we want more input. community and from each other, and maybe having a conversation amongst ourselves as to what brought you here, why are you here, what do you do as a committee member, what's your motivation? And it's like maybe we can.
And I think that's kind of what this is for too, right? Like, what ideas appeal to people in this room in terms of items that we might want to focus on?
Like trying to come up with something that's actionable it's actually difficult. It's like, well, how do you put these concepts into action? It's like, well, we have to have conversations. Conversations are difficult. It's like, how do we do it not only as a group, but how do we?
Any final thoughts or ideas?
Well, I think the humorous thing is that we share some of our differences and we met together and share our work. I think we have the opportunity.
So maybe more diverse events.
Erica?
When I hear you say that, that makes me think of the Twin Village Covenant, maybe something that we could be doing with our good idea.
Well, we did speak of something along those lines.
Excuse me. Could you use the microphone? Those of us on Zoom cannot hear you.
Yeah, I think it's you need to speak up just with the mask okay. And everything. Yeah.
We will try to speak up. Thank you. And it's important to note we can do a summary of all of this at the end of the meeting, or in the meeting minutes or after the meeting. And we will do a summary in the meeting minutes and after the that's sent out after the meeting, so you guys have that as well.
Will you include the names of the people that are speaking?
I think we probably. I mean, that'll be in the meeting minutes.
It wasn't last time.
Not every statement is attributed to every person. It's not a transcript. But. Okay. I think we do have this recorded too, so you can see who said what.
Yeah, maybe just ask people to say their name. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Got it. I will try to speak louder. I'm sorry. I have
no Tina Baird. when we were just brainstorming, we thought it would be a nice idea with the. Cities and to the villages, if we sponsored a basketball tournament with all the basketball hoops that are on our lot. And maybe they are sponsored by both fire departments or police departments, just people that we need to get to know and welcoming the communities outside of our village into our village. It would be really focusing on the young people, but there isn't a lot for the tweens and teens in this community to get involved in or hang out at. And that would be one thing we came up with.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll move to this group over here.
Sure. So we went through the questions sort of
more. Can you give your name?
Sure, Christina McCormick. So we went through the questions more step by step. I'm just going to be yelling here for efficiency. But in part, we talked about potentially setting up like a roadmap and a process of next steps to understand, you know, what do we want to do first? Is it prepare for an RFP, hire a consultant, just sort of, you know, brainstorm everything that we'd like to do and then set it out in a roadmap with understanding the interdependencies, et cetera. We did talk about doing like, in terms of what topics do we want to dig deeper on, just learning more about the village itself, doing like, whether there's any workforce analysis, which Mindy mentioned that there hadn't been,
When you say workforce analysis, do you mean
I'll let
the community as a whole, or do you mean
the village? The village.
The village.
I believe.
Well, in my previous life as a human resources executive, you always do a workforce analysis and you make affirmative action plans. Some of that is related to, I mean, you're required by law to do it under certain circumstances. River Forest, I found out, is not large enough to be required by law to do an affirmative action plan. But a workforce analysis gives you an understanding of where there's disparate impact amongst employees, contractors.
So you're talking about the village itself,
the village,
and not necessarily the community.
No, the village employment.
Okay.
You know, the guys that and gals that take care of the sewers, police force, administration, etc.
Awesome.
So it's workforce analysis and affirmative action planning.
Similarly, in that vein, sort of understanding the current purchasing rules, whether there are any requirements for minority women-owned businesses, et cetera, just understanding vendors and suppliers and that process.
So doing supplier diversity.
Yeah. Or just understanding what exists now. And similarly, sorry, and I'm talking faster than here.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Understanding the existing like trainings that are in place for staff, with the Brian's trainings, et cetera.
Is there anything in particular that you would want to look for?
I would just be curious what exists currently. Sure. And then we did also to discuss getting more community input, whether there were additional channels, for getting folks more involved, both in this group and just in political government in general.
Great. Anything else? Okay. Awesome. This group here.
I'm Ella who took notes. This is Megan Cascatello. We went through a lot of similar things. One of the things that we thought was very important is looking at the RFP, since that's something that we're tasked with developing and creating a sense of what we need for our RFP and for the consultants, potentially with a subcommittee. We also talked about finding ways to do better in our experience with each other in this group. And potentially getting some professional help with training us to communicate and looking at how we can better understand each other. We also,
You're fine.
We also were interested in partnering with our local organizations, particularly around the Twin Village Covenant and events, also with Dominicans, TRHT, and potentially with Concordia around issues of community as well. We talked about also partnering with the township to look at our taxes and if there are tax inequalities. Are we being taxed fairly? This village very much cares about tax. The township spends a lot of time on it. So that came up as well. And our housing stock. We looked at, we as a village, we have our comprehensive plan, and our comprehensive plan is our guiding document, which deals a lot with land, housing, what are our physical assets in the community, but do we have as a robust of a people plan? Like, who are the people in our community? We've got some really good demographic data, but do we have, is there more that we want to do there? With understanding who's in our village, who's around our village, and like, who is our community? And then we talked a lot about some things that make the conversation difficult. What makes us feel threatened? what makes us feel fearful, and how do we come to each other and connect through those feelings? How do we develop that authenticity and vulnerability that we need to make this work really thrive?
You guys the same question. So if you're looking at more information about who's in our community, what kinds of things would you like to do with that? What would that help you understand, or what would you want to?
I think what we look for then is gaps in service. I mean, that's my answer, because we didn't discuss that.
Yeah. Anyone else?
We're not in the group. I mean, we talked about that too. Can I answer that?
Please.
I think it ought to be a like a small group, focus group, where people can feel safe and honestly answer. There's so much peer pressure to go along with the expectation that everybody's racist and everybody's terrible and everybody's this and that and the other thing. So I really like what D200 did when they were doing the recruitment. They had multiple, you'd be anonymous on a phone call, you'd be anonymous in a Zoom call. You had different ways to express your opinion without being labeled as a racist or a old timer, as an Alzheimerist. I mean, there's a lot of ways to express your opinion without being forced into a social norm that may not be exactly how you feel.
Got it. So in terms of community input, how are we doing it so we can get good data and good information and good insight?
Yes.
Did we bring up the students comprised of Concordia and Dominican comprise a big group of people that are probably not specifically addressed in this, and we thought they should be included. They're not counted as residents, right?
Dominican students are, because they live here in River Forest.
But I'm saying that if you looked at the majority of the students,
They interact
in the village, and yet we.
So that's
talked about different people groups and stuff.
They shop here, they live here, they walk around here. We need to make sure that they're part of and feel included in our community.
That's great. So the idea of like a daytime population.
Yeah, don't really call that your daytime population.
Not just daytime. I mean.
No. I mean, and it's a euphemism for all hours of the day, but people who don't sleep here.
Well, I live right down the street from Dominican. There's a lot of kids that walk from here up to North Avenue and go to the restaurants, and people turn their porch lights on. They're going like, what are these kids of young people of color walking down my street for? I mean, it's not just daytime. It's.
Yeah, I don't mean daytime. I appreciate that. I don't mean daytime literally. I just mean people who don't rest their heads in River Forest. But I hear what you're saying, and I think we're saying the same thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I think that we want to be mindful of, when we're, of people feeling threatened unnecessarily, right?
Unnecessarily, that's the point. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Very good.
We also talked about not focusing just on race and ethnicity, but there are a lot of other things that are mentioned in our definition here.
I think that's an important statement. We do see that so much of where we see gaps in equity come from race and ethnicity, and so trying to understand that sometimes allows us to bring other groups in as well.
The intersectionality of discrimination.
Yeah. But we do need to be mindful of those who are not in the room, right?
Right.
Good. Anything else? Oh, go ahead. On Zoom.
So we talked about how we want to have the committee serve as a resource to the board and the village in their decision-making processes to make sure that DEI is taken into account and what they and that all voices are heard. And we also want to be better regional partner and collaborator.
Before you go on, I'm going to stop you right there because that's a really good point, being a resource to the board. When you say that, part of what I think about is the decision matrix around making sure that the decisions we make are inclusive.
Yes.
Okay. What else?
And we want to be better regional partners and collaborators with other towns. I know we have Maywood in the signing documents or the original documents of this group, but are there other towns we could also work with? And we didn't get into specifics of how we could do that, but we did want to say that we wanted to do that. But one of the things that we said is that it's difficult to have conversations in the group without it getting heated, and we might need more training on how to be respectful and how to respond when someone disagrees with you, and how to hold people accountable if they aren't respectful, and that's within our own group. And maybe better training on Robert's rules. I think you did go over them a little bit once, but we talked kind of about how that creates an equity issue when some people are very familiar with Robert's rules and know what you can and can't do, and others aren't sure of what they can and can't say in a meeting. So maybe just some training for our group on how to do some of those things. And then we talked about, we got to that last question about data. We kind of figured that in order to improve, we really need to have some data points on what are the barriers to diversity, why does someone move here or not move here, what have other villages experienced in terms of DE&I, and what can we learn from them, and what perceptions people have of River Forest, and what experiences diverse residents have had in River Forest. So those are some of the questions we came up with and thought that having an outside consultant help us with collecting some of that data would be very helpful. And I look to my other Zoom group for anything I missed.
I think you did a great job.
So for experiences here, and you know, the experiences that people have, is there anything in particular that you think we might want to or need to focus on?
I think we had kind of talked about what people think of River Forest, and you know, whether they're true or not, what perceptions people have, both those who live here and those who don't, those who are thinking about moving here and chose not to, those who did move here, but basically perceptions versus reality, I guess. And what are the barriers to diversity?
barriers to DE&I. That's okay. So this is a really good start. It's a lot of ideas. We're going to compile it, put it together. And I think as we come together in these meetings, our next step for this is to maybe group ideas that are similar. So already I'm seeing things, Twin Village Covenant, internal communication skills within the committee, ideas around data, and start to think about what items do we want to prioritize or focus on first. Are there ones that are immediate? Are there items that we would put off because maybe a consultant would help us with that? There are things that we can do now. And if we do start to look at how we form subcommittee groups, what does that look like within this? So more to think about. And yeah, so we'll come back to this. This is going to help lead us in the work that we are eventually doing. So, did you have a question? Sorry, I thought I saw, like, I or something.
This is a really good stuff. I mean, and all the things. It just, you know, if I may, I really wanted to emphasize on the more community input and then what are the ideas that we can bring in, because obviously the more people who come in and then bring their ideas and their experiences, it will bring more diverse group where we are aiming for, and you know, their differences of the, you know, opinions that we can listen to each other and open up, you know, conversations, and automatically we'll have more inclusive ideas, and that's kind of a nature to plug into it. So if we want to create that channel, what would that be, and what kind of things that we can, actionable ideas, you know, something that they can approach, something they can be something that we talked about food, or something, you know, we can do about a block party, and something that we are already doing it, but as a community, as a reinforced community, a township, maybe it's time to have some kind of a festival that if it's really celebrating DEI. It's another idea.
Wonderful. Great. Okay. Well, thank you all so much. Like I said, we'll grab all these ideas, take a couple of photos of them. Do we need to do anything else?
Let's confirm the next meeting. Let me get my agenda in front of me. So our next meeting, just so you know too, so the way, the reason the room moved was because now that classes are back in session, the other room that we were in is being used by the university for other programming. So they have identified, Dominican staff have identified this room as the place that they think that we will remain. So always check your agenda when there's a room change. I try to remember to highlight it. So always double check that. And the agenda is posted on the door here as well. So the next regularly scheduled meeting is October 19th when I send out the packet. Just if you could do me a favor. I think tonight worked beautifully. We knew coming into the meeting we had a quorum. We want to make good use of everybody's time. So I think that was great. So thank you all for being so attentive to that. And then the next meeting after that, we would move back to the first Monday, which is November 1st. Yeah.
So Glenn and I talked about this earlier. So if I think you guys said if we want to send something to the group, then we need to go through you. But how do we know if you've got what we requested and if you distribute, if you're planning on distributing it? What, how do we make that more transparency? What kind of timeline do you want?
Sure.
And you know, you don't have to answer that tonight, but we should have a actionable plan, a transparent plan for the next meeting.
One thing that I know about Lisa is anytime I send her something, I always get an immediate response back.
I don't. You're the chairman, I'm a peon.
Yeah.
So I think the peons want transparency.
What probably makes sense is when she receives it, she'll send a message back saying, I received this from you, so that you know that she received it.
Oh, I've sent my stuff to all three of you, and I've gotten no response.
Right, but if we're talking about items that you're sending to Lisa for the general board, I think that's something that we can make sure that we do, is
so,
that she
so
can...
Just so I'm clear, so we don't need to send it to all of you, we're just going to put all of this on Lisa, and then Lisa decides what gets distributed and when?
Lisa will distribute it to us as well, but it's better to have one person so that you're not... You can, by, for sure, send it to all three of us, but probably best to send it to Lisa, if that's okay. Lisa.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, the other thing we can do too, and the three of us can talk about this, but we can set up an email distribution, right? So it's one email address, but it goes to the three of us. So that would be another option too, just to make sure that nothing gets missed. If I'm out of the office on vacation, if somebody's having a technology issue. So let us talk about it and figure out a process that works.
And then a timeline and how you're gonna respond so we know you got it. Just a process for transparency and timing, and that we all can, it's transparent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. And I do, it sounds like there was a technology issue.
There was.
And so, apologize for that.
Yeah, certainly. So I do. I my goal is never to make anybody feel excluded. I apologize for that. And appreciate everybody's cooperation and continued participation in this. And our goal is to get to good outcomes for the community. And I think we're all committed to that.
Perfect.
Okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.